Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 13? Matthew 13, 24 through 30, and then jumping to 36 through 43, this is, again, the only other parable where Jesus explains it, or at least gets it started. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds appeared also. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" "Well, an enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go out and pull them all up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds, tie them together in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" And continuing with verse 36, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and the disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field.' And Jesus answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of our age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So whoever has ears, let them hear." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this series on the parables. We pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would open our ears, our spiritual ears, to hear what you want to say to us this morning as we often pray. And so, Lord, as we come into your word, again, give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So far in 2026, we have been focusing on the acquisition of wisdom as we are seeking to be more fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've looked at the wisdom of Proverbs, we've looked at Ecclesiastes, we've looked at the New Testament letter of James, and if it's been a while since you've been reading these or been in those, let me encourage you to do that as well. Last week, we started a new series on the wisdom teaching of Jesus as found in the parables. So again, in your private devotions, be reading Jesus's parables, particularly Matthew 13. That's the series. Now remember this, and I say it one more time, that wisdom can be defined, I love this definition, as the view from the mountaintop. Wisdom is the view from the mountaintop, and Jesus loved to show us the big picture through his use of these picture stories called the parables. So again, a parable is taking something very common, very simple from everyday life, in this case, Jesus's agricultural world, to illustrate a deeper and unknown spiritual truth. And again, you'll remember last week, all this is online if you want to have a listen again, along with the music and all that good stuff. We looked at the parable of the sower, probably Jesus' most famous parable. We also said it could be also called the parable of the soils or the parable of the heart. And so here's the thing about parables. They are simple. They have a habit of luring people into them and then trapping us. And Jesus does this for a couple reasons. When you are trapped by a parable of Jesus, so to speak, you have the option to humble yourself, to draw closer to Jesus, or you can be upset and angry, and then you have the moment to flee. It allows you to flee from Jesus into your own little ego. Remember, our egos cause us to edge God out. Ego, edge God out. And so as we begin the 40-day Lenten journey towards Easter and our short Ash Wednesday service this week, you have the opportunity to be wise. To amend and improve the soil of your heart this season. What would that look like for you? Right? Jesus says wisely, "Let those who have eyes see, let them see some more. Those who have ears hear." because, and this doesn't seem fair to some people in our modern world, those who have will be given more, but to those who have little, what little they have will be snatched away from them. So continuing in the series, pondering the parables, parable of the weeds, really in a lot of ways it continues the logic and wisdom of the parable of the sower that we looked at last week. Because if there's one pernicious soil type that's incredibly common in America today, and we talked about this in adult ed a little bit, sadly it's common among Christians, it is weedy soil, weedy and thorny soil. Jesus had said that in the previous parable. Weedy and thorny soil of your heart is incredibly spiritually dangerous, and it looks like this. The worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the good seed of God's word that he wants to sow or plant in our lives. Now, again, you'll remember there's about 40 parables in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, actually, the Synoptic Gospels. Only two of them are explained by Jesus. This is the second one. And this parable of the weeds is only found in Matthew's Gospel. Now, again, Jesus didn't usually explain his parables, right? That must have been incredibly frustrating to many people who listened to them. Jesus seems entirely content not to. He wants to make people think, pray, and even struggle through the meaning on their own. And I find that rather fascinating as a pastor. I think a lot of people today, it's kind of like when you're in school and, well, is this going to be on the test? It's like, that's exactly what your teacher never wants to hear. Well, just tell me what I got to know. It's like, no, you're studying this body of material and learning and growing, and yeah, sometimes it's kind of hard, right? Jesus never spoon-fed people. I think there's a lot of that going on in Christianity today. Again, it's the, you know, it's the little baby in the high chair, we said, right? Give me, it's like, stop it, grow up already, right? I think that's a lot of Christian people out there in our country. We love our convenience. We love our, you know, I realized we're our own worst enemies, you know, thorny, weedy soil. You cannot be wise if you're addicted to convenience, amen? You can't. It's impossible, right? Oh man, but where's the fog machine, Anne-Marie? We need a fog machine on this stage because it's so mysterious. Really? We can't afford a fog machine, praise God. Anyway, Jesus doesn't spoon feed people. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, you got to work through it. You got to pray for wisdom and discernment from the Holy Spirit. Again, for 21st century democratically minded Americans, sometimes we say, well, that's not fair. We're obsessed with fairness as Americans, you know. But what did most of us tell our kids? Well, life's not fair, is it? Is that cruel and unusual punishment? Well, just wait. If you don't teach them, then it's going to be for a rude awakening, won't they? So here it is, Matthew 13. Notice that the parable of the weeds introduces a phrase here, and Matthew's going to open the rest of his parables in chapter 13 with this. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like... Remember, Matthew was written to a Jewish audience, Luke to a Gentile one originally. So Matthew, being a very religious Jew at the time, they never say God's name directly because it's holy, it's divine. So you refer to it, the kingdom of heaven, you know, the one who lives in heaven. Where Luke is talking to Gentiles and they don't have those druthers, it's like the kingdom of God, right? The God. There's not multiple gods like you Gentiles think. There is one God of heaven and earth. So a little interesting little piece there, right? Jews in Jesus' day would never say God because of his greatness and holiness. So kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, one and the same, different audiences here. Now, as I thought about the difference between plants such as wheat and weeds, I naturally assumed that the whole point was that you could eat one and not the other. Well, actually, I had to dig a little deeper, no, all pun intended, right? It's not quite that simple, is it? Yeah, kind of like the time. This is kind of practical for me. When I was preparing for ministry at Alliance Theological Seminary in New York, I took a class. This was hilarious. It was called New Testament Backgrounds. And it was a really interesting class. And one of the sections we studied was edible foods of the Bible. Like, huh, okay, that's interesting. And we all had to do a class presentation. And I had one of my buddies did something. He decided that spring to pick all the dandelions on the seminary grounds lawn. You know where I'm going with this? Because I think some people do that out here, right? And he put them in a big pot and he let them ferment in his dorm room. Pretty scary, right? And then he came to class and made a presentation on dandelion wine, complete with samples in Dixie cups for all the students. Now, most of the students, being somewhat abstemious, refused to taste the stuff. I was one of the daring few that wished later I hadn't. It was so horrible that I actually spit it on the classroom floor. I didn't even try and choke it down. What I found in that moment was actually pretty helpful. Technically, here was both a weed as well as something you could eat and drink, technically, right? You know, some people use dandelions on salads. I think the stems. Does anybody do that? Or
the leaves.
Oh, thank you. Okay. You guys know what you're talking about. I'm just struggling along here. The leaves, yeah. And you can, I've known of people who make this stuff annually, dandelion wine. I'm just kind of like, why? Just leave it for the bees, man. But anyway, thinking about weeds, thinking about food, that kind of thing. So I decided to go to Webster's Dictionary, find out how weeds are different from things like wheat. Here's some helpful insights. Webster says, a weed is a plant that's considered troublesome or useless, especially if it's growing abundantly in cultivated ground. Duh. Okay. Here in Montana, we have no small number of weeds, including noxious weeds that can be harmful to the livestock. Ranchers and farmers will tell us all about that here. And I discovered something this past week. I was attending a Master Gardener class with the MSU Agricultural Extension Agency. She was very proud of the bobcats. And she wanted to talk dirt about the grizz. And I'm like, man, I gave a lot of money to Missoula for my kids on that. So can we wrap it up here? But she's very good. And downtown here on 4th Street, they actually have a downtown office. And I noticed on last week, they have an entire rack devoted to noxious weeds in the valley and in Montana. I was like, wow, I had no idea we had that much poison stuff growing around here. Very interesting, I thought. If you're looking for help in growing stuff this spring, don't plant yet. I know we want to, but it's only February, right? Go take a little trip down there. They have tons of great information on growing healthy stuff in the valley. But on further digging around, all pun intended, I found this, that in order to apply this parable for life today, the translators of the NIV took a specific kind of noxious weed and generalized it. I was looking at this week, I'm like, oh, this is fascinating. So how many of you grew up reading the old KJV, the these and thous and all that stuff? Well, then you'll remember this parable. This is called the parable of the tares. Right? It comes from a funny Greek word, zizania, right? That's another word for a very specific troublesome weed, sometimes called darnel. Maybe you've heard of these if you're a little older, right? So this specific kind of weed, tares or darnel, the point is of all this is that it was a big problem for wheat farmers in Jesus's day, as well as farmers throughout history. This poisonous plant was no dandelion in the field. Here's the thing, if that darnel or tares were not extracted from the field by harvest time, if it was harvested with the wheat and ground up as flour, it would spoil all the flour. You'd lose the whole crop. Now, back in the day, people would live or die with a harvest. You make that mistake, your family could starve to death. That's the point of this. This is not just general weeds. These are noxious, poisonous weeds that are getting in with the good stuff Jesus is really saying, right? Now, it turns out, but wait, there's more. And this is like a bad infomercial. Darnel can also be a host for the poisonous fungus ergot. So if the ergot spores get in eaten together with the wheat in the form of bread, it can produce vomiting, hallucinations, and even death in people. What a horrible way to go. You're just eating your bread and you're like, I feel funny. That's what this is really about. Now, in many places in the New Testament, weeds are understood as useless and troublesome. It's interesting how often weeds are associated with the final judgment, something we don't like to talk about. That's not nice. No, it's not. People get ready. There's a train coming, right, Gary? And that's part, yeah. The problem is, Jesus says, that when they're seedlings, the darnel, it's impossible to tell the true wheat from the noxious tares. Ooh. See the spiritual implications here? Uncomfortable questions. How do you tell them apart? Again, wisdom and patience is key. That's what one of the things we're talking about through this series, right? Scripture gives us some key responses, principles that are highly applicable to our daily lives, I think. Right? What does Jesus say earlier in Matthew 7? A tree is known by its fruit. Yes. It takes time to grow fruit, right? I'm thinking about my fruit orchard, man. If they start budding anymore, I could lose the entire crop this year. Look at me worrying about something I can't even control. Isn't it? We're all worried about this stuff. We don't control any of it. But the point is, how do you tell fruit? Well, some fruit is good, some fruit is bad. People have asked me this question many times over the years. How can I know and discern the real character and motivation of others that I'm unsure of? And I simply say this: wait, watch, and be patient. If you really want to know, right? Isn't this what Jesus tells his disciples to do in the parable of the weeds? Wait, watch, be patient. Paul says this to his young protege, Timothy, 1 Timothy 5. Memorize this, especially when you're like trying to figure out, is that guy sketchy or not? It's kind of, I don't know. Wait, watch, be patient. Paul says to his young disciple, the sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them, right? In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. Take your time. You ever notice when people are out to get you, they're always rushing you? Well, buy this, do that. Well, just like, can I ask some questions? Well, no, sign here now. It's like, no. People get upset if you calm them down a little bit. They will out themselves. If you're not sure, ask questions, be patient. Pretty soon they lose their mind and go on. It's a lot of fun. I am a child. I enjoy this. Wayne has a, he doesn't mind me sharing. When he gets telemarketers trying to sell him stuff, and he just says, he'll stop and listen to them for a minute, and he'll say, do you know Jesus loves you? And they get upset. Can I tell you about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And they always hang up, don't they? It's more or less. I think it's hilarious. Do that. This is fun. The sins of some men are obvious. The others will take time. Take your time. Be patient. Now, in the case of the parable of the weeds, this is a picture of the end times. How do you distinguish? How does God distinguish between the righteous and the sinful, between the good and evil, separating and judging people? This is a pretty sobering parable, because the parable of the weeds is kind of a natural extension of the earlier parable of the sower. So there's a direct correlation between the kind of soil in a person's heart and the fruitfulness of their harvest. Not somewhat obvious probably there, hopefully, right? Specifically, Jesus explains this. He said, he's the one who sows the good seed. The bad seed, the noxious tares, the poisonous ergot, that is sown by the devil, by Satan. We do live in a fallen world, but it is still beautiful. The world is a field that contains good seed, also bad seed as well, troublesome. Why are we surprised? Well, there's a lot of evil people out there. You're surprised? Apart from God, apart from Jesus Christ, what did you expect, right? I think we as Christians are somewhat naive at times, right? Jesus says, be as innocent as doves, but be as shrewd as vipers, as serpents. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the parables call us to be shrewd. So just because bad seed is growing does not mean it's ugly or unattractive, right? One of the things I learned in the extension office, there's pictures of all these pretty flowers and whatever, and it's like, these are all poisonous. Do not be deceived with your eyes. Look beneath it, right? Never be deceived by mere appearances as a Christian. We know here in Montana, again, some of the most noxious weeds produce some of the prettiest of the flowers. They can be poisonous to our livestock. Some can actually even kill goats, which are pretty hard to kill. You know, the sheep and the goats. There's a reason why God uses these images. The parable of the weeds offer a number of applicable truths. Another one would be that we inevitably share the world's field with the field with seeds sown by the enemy. So you must be spiritually aware and vigilant, right? It's amazing how many Americans say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe in the devil? No. Well, then you're going to be really confused, right? If you don't believe in the devil, then God has done some awful things, don't you think? Right? Why? We are obsessed with choice. We love to choose. It's like, you don't get to choose on this one. Be spiritually aware. Be vigilant. Here's the problem. As believers, whenever we spiritually fall asleep, check out, or choose not to keep our spiritual eyes and ears open, guess what? The devil sneaks in and spreads more and more bad seed. That's how it works, right? Right? Further key reason why some Christians bear only a little fruit in their lives, some more than others. Well, it's not fair. Well, actually, it is quite fair in the end of the day, right? Some will bear more than others is Jesus's point. So after my first gardening class this past week with the MSU extension agent, I discovered that one of the biggest things they do here in Montana is pesticide and fertilizer management. It's huge. I was like, wow, there's actually a pesticide specialist employed here in the state of Montana that can answer your specific questions. I'm like, oh, these people are serious. Uh-huh. Because crops are serious in Montana. Ranching is serious business and that kind of thing. We have to be careful. You know this, if you've done any gardening, any yard work, any of that, if you take the time to apply fertilizer, pesticides, weed killer to your lawns in spring, in the fall, that kind of thing, there is a dramatic reduction in the amount of weeds and even dandelions that sprout and take root, right? That's just how it works. It takes work. It takes discipline, right? That's why some lawns are just like, is there any grass in that lawn? Have you ever seen those lawns? Like, right. So the parable of the reeds reminds us that that some weeds are troublesome and useless. And if we don't succeed in getting them out of our fields, rest assured, in the end, God will do it for you. How about that? Oh, that's not very nice. Well, get busy. How about that? The spiritually vigilant bear 100 times what is sown. Jesus reminds us, the parable of the sower. They carefully tend their fields. They dig out the weeds by the roots at the proper times. And when they can be clearly identified and before they can drop their poisonous, noxious seeds in the soil once again, that's when you pull them. And by the way, I found out this week, you know, as the darnel, the tares are growing with the wheat, of course, the roots in those weeds are deeper. Isn't that true in life? It's like, you need more elbow grease on those things, and you better get them by the roots, right? There's all kinds of garden implements to get down there and get those roots up, because if you just pull them off the top, they come back, right? That's we know how this works. It's no great mystery, probably, right? If you don't take care of the weeds in your life, diminished productivity of God's word in your life. This is how it works. So again, look at all the garden imagery in the Bible, right? Doesn't the whole story of the Bible begin in garden? Right? Genesis 1 through 3. So like I did last week, let me ask you a few questions as we close, right? Thinking about your life as we move into Lent, how's your garden doing this morning? Have you taken time to see what's growing in your life or what's not growing? Are you ignoring any noxious weeds? Or like we said last week, how's your spiritual fields doing? You know, people are preparing stuff right now as we speak, right? What's growing in your garden? What's growing in your fields? Is it good stuff? Is it stuff you need to bring to the Lord in prayer? And is there something you need some help with, maybe? Right? I mean, that's why we're here together, to help one another, right? This is a spiritual family, right? We've got some people with some skills that you can ask if that's helpful, right? With the help of the master gardener himself, Jesus Christ, your spiritual fields can become more productive than they are today. And that brings glory to God, and it advances the kingdom of heaven. So as we continue on in this series of parables of Jesus in Matthew 13, we need wisdom, amen? That's what we're talking about this quarter for sure, up through Easter at least. We need wisdom in this life because, man, we are so addicted to our phones and our convenience, and it's killing us spiritually. We talked about that extensively in adult ed. Pray for wisdom. James says, if any woman is lacking wisdom, what do? You ask God. When was the last time you asked God for, Lord, I need more wisdom in my life? And he says, believe and don't doubt. God will give it to you if you don't doubt. It's a promise of Scripture. Believe it, right? Because we need spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of our hearts this morning. There's a reason why I say that in prayer all the time, because we need wisdom. We need spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear. Take some time this week. Be reading these wisdom materials. Pray through them and take a look at how your fields are doing. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks for this day. Thank you for this series. Thank you for this upcoming Lenten season where we can begin to look at our fields, look at the gardens of our hearts, look at the soil of our hearts and see where you may want to come in and do a new work, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the discipline of Lent, for the values of silence and solitude and prayer in our lives. We need that to know what's really going on in our lives and the lives of those we love. And so, Lord, as Jesus said, grant us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning and this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.